today on Family Talk.
Hi, everyone. You're tuned into Family Talk, the radio ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host, taking the reins today. If this is your first time joining us, we're so glad you're with us. Dr. Dobson and his wife Shirley are in Washington, D.C. this week. Today, they'll be meeting with the faith advisory team that he's been serving on to advise the president on matters of faith and more. He and his wife Shirley will also be attending a dinner this evening with the president and First Lady Melania Trump. As always, we ask that you continue to pray for and stand alongside of Dr. Dobson and Shirley in these days. God is using them in a mighty way, and we continue to pray that God will give him strength and health and a strong voice for such a time as this. We're currently in the middle of Ignite Men's Week here at Family Talk. All the programs this week are geared specifically to empowering and encouraging men to be godly leaders in their homes, our churches, and communities. In just a moment, you're going to hear a powerful message from Evangelist Tim Lee. He, again, is a decorated Vietnam War veteran who has a powerful, powerful voice and message of hope and challenge about an intimate relationship with God, what that means, and, by the way, a deep love for our country. So many of the men responded that night. They gave their heart to Christ. I wish you could have been in the room with us. Well, you're going to get to hear that and a little bit more on this edition of Family Talk. The line to come and speak to Tim Lee after the service was over was ridiculous. I mean, it was just amazing to me. But it speaks to the hearts of men, the stirring, the holy stirring that I believe is going on right now in our culture. Let's go now to Evangelist Tim Lee.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Wow. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. Wow, I'm honored to be here. This is probably the greatest opportunity I've ever had to come here, see so many men, and so many lives are going to be changed, and many people, maybe you're going to go home fired up. Now, let me ask you to do this. And right now, if you just draw an imaginary circle around yourself, no one to the right, no one to the left, just you and me and God for the next 10 or 12 minutes. And I want you on purpose to ask God to say something to you. Some of you have never done that in your entire life, but I'm asking you to do it right now. Don't let anything or anyone interrupt what God wants to do here in the next few moments. I was raised in a pastor's home. My dad was a Southern Baptist pastor for almost 60 years. Like in a few months, been six full decades, my mom, a pastor's wife for nearly 60 years, went to heaven a little over 2 weeks ago. And she didn't really get old till she was about 92. She, at 91, was still mowing her yard with a push mower. And she called me. She said, "Tim, I sold my car." I said, "Why, Mom? Why'd you sell your car?" She said, "I'm 91. I've never had an accident. I've never had a ticket. And I want to go out on top." I couldn't say that when I was 17 years old. But I was raised in a godly home. There were five of us children. You know what you do when you're raised in a pastor's home? You go to church. You go to church all the time. We went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I told a group of teenagers the other day I was on drugs. When I was 9 years old, Mom and Dad drug us to church on Sunday morning. They drug us back Sunday night. We went to church all of the time. But we were taught things at home as well. Gentlemen, it's important what you do with your children at home. Let me read a verse from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. Listen to this. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Here it is, guys. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." What are you talking about? The word of God. When are you talking about it? When you sit down, when you rise up, and when you go by the way. And who are you talking about it to? to your children. As important as it is for your children to be in church and to be in Sunday school and maybe in a WANA program or even a Christian school, all that's great and all that's wonderful. But hey, it's not their primary responsibility to teach your children the Word of God. Gentlemen, it is your responsibility to teach your children the Word of God. When I was 10 years old, only 10, the most important thing that would ever happen in my life happened on a Sunday morning in North City Baptist Church in North City, Illinois. Sunday morning, sitting on the second row on the right-hand side, my dad was preaching for the first time in my life that I can remember. I got under conviction. Remember, I've been going to church since 9 months before I was ever born. And I've heard a lot of messages, a lot of Sunday school lessons, but that morning, conviction came. You say, Tim, what's conviction? The best I can explain is when God Himself comes to talk to you personally about big stuff like life and death and heaven and hell and eternity. And man, when conviction comes, you're probably the most miserable person in the room. You'd like for the preacher just to shut up. No more singing, please. Get me out of this building. But let me tell you something. Sir, if conviction was to come to you tonight in this room, you know what you ought to do? You ought to thank God for it. You know what that means? That means God loves you. That means God's trying to draw you unto Himself. That means this one true and holy God wants to have a personal relationship with you. And when I was 10 years old, conviction came. I was so miserable during the invitation, all I could see was hell. Someone said, well, you shouldn't get saved just to stay out of hell. Maybe not, but that's not a bad reason to get saved. I left my seat that morning, knelt at an old-fashioned altar, repented of my sins, received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I got born into the family of God. And guys, that is the most important thing that has ever happened in my life. And if you've been saved, that's the most important thing that has ever happened in your life. But I got to be upfront with you. I got to tell you tonight, if you've never been saved, then your life is incomplete. You may be the richest man in this building tonight, but if you don't know Jesus, your life is incomplete. You may be the most educated. You may be the smartest person in this building, but if you don't know Jesus, your life is incomplete. Tonight, you need Jesus. I was excited, told family and friends what had happened in my life, but when I became a teenager, something else happened. Never happened overnight, but gradually I began to put things before God. Football and basketball and baseball and track and field, they soon became my gods. Dad told me, Tim, there's nothing wrong with you playing ball unless you put it before God, and then it's wrong. And I will listen to that. And little by little, putting these things before God in my life, I began to have problems. I began to rebel. I rebelled at school. I rebelled against God. I rebelled against my parents. You said, Tim, what did your parents do when you rebelled? They had never read any of Dr. Spock's books on child psychology. He thought that if a child was frustrated, whatever it took to get the frustration out, let him do it. If he wanted to pick up a rock and throw it through the window, if that would help him get his frustration out, let him throw the rock through the window. Well, my dad had other ways of getting that frustration out. Behind the farmhouse was a willow tree. And I don't know whether you know what willow trees are good for or not, but you don't get any fruit off of them. Not a good shade tree. The only thing they're good for is to get a switch off of. The only praying I did back then was for that tree to die. It never did die. I'd have to go out and get my own switch. Man, I would be hurting before I got back because I knew what was about to happen. And they would always talk to us before they spanked us. And something like this, they'd say, Tim, this is going to hurt me a whole lot worse than it's going to hurt you. And I thought, isn't that dumb? If you give me that switch, I'll show you who it's going to hurt the worst. But I kept getting farther and farther away from God, graduated from high school and started college of the day, working nights. In the meantime, my life became one disaster after the other. And I didn't think it could get any worse. But it wasn't long till I got fired from my job. And then I got kicked out of college. Nowhere to go, nothing to do. And again, my life full of confusion. Walking down the street in my hometown, McLeansboro, Illinois, I noticed a sign. I'd seen it before, but never got my attention like it did that day. It's a picture of a young man in a sharp-looking uniform, and at the top of the sign, it said, the Marines are looking for a few good men. I was so full of myself, so egotistical, I actually told the recruiter that I'd found at least one of what they were looking for. Now, to be real frank with you, I was tired of living at home. I wanted a change. I wanted something different. I was tired of being told what time to go to bed and what time to get out of bed and how to get my hair cut and what I could do and could not do, so I joined the United States Marine Corps. It wasn't the most intelligent thing I ever did. Greyhound bus, they sent me to Parris Island, South Carolina. I got off that bus, stepped on those yellow footprints. I met the guy they called drill instructor. Was there less than 24 hours when I decided I didn't like him and he didn't like me. The reason I didn't like him was because he was in authority. And I was rebellious toward all authority. But I was soon to discover that no matter where I would ever go in this life, there would always be authority. With God being the supreme in all authority. I laid awake nights, many nights, platoon 305, thinking about the shame and the disgrace that I'd brought to my dad's ministry, to my own family. My attitude began to change in boot camp. They had some things to help it change. I graduated from boot camp with the Meritorious Promotion, ITR, then to engineering school at Camp Lejeune, graduated with another Meritorious Promotion, and then I received my orders that I was to go to South Vietnam. I went home for 3 weeks leave before leaving to go to Vietnam, and on the last Sunday that I was home, I went to church with my parents, and I thought that morning that I'd made things right with God. On Monday, Mom and Dad took me to St. Louis, and I got on that plane, and it no more got off the runway, and I told God that I couldn't do it. Those men were Marines. I was afraid they'd laugh at me, make fun of me. I was in Vietnam for 9 months, and I didn't go back to doing a lot of the things that I'd done before, but guys, listen to me. If you're not for the Lord, then that means you're against him. For the believer, for the Christian in this room tonight, there's no middle ground. This evening, you're either helping the cause of Christ or you're hurting the cause of Christ. I had opportunity after opportunity to live for God. Mom sent me a Bible, and on the inside of that Bible, she wrote these words, "Tim, this Bible can keep you from sin, or sin can keep you from this Bible." Put it at the bottom of my footlocker. I had no prayer life, no testimony. It was a black Marine in my squad by the name of Lee Gore. He and I flew to Vietnam on the same plane. We were the best of friends. He was a Christian living for God. I was saved, but I was running from God. Many times saw him witness and talk to other Marines about the Lord, and I knew that was supposed to be my story, but I kept running. I kept rebelling. 30 days left in Nam, and my top sergeant offered me a desk job. Man, I didn't have to go back out to the field, to the bush anymore, and that was where the primary danger was. But for some reason, I told him I'd rather spend the rest of my time with my own men. I was told to take them on a minesweep. Been on a lot of minesweeps. The only thing particularly different about this one was several of my men were new in Vietnam. Some had only been in country for a few weeks, some just a couple of days. I told my men that day that I would walk point. We walked that morning without any trouble. We found a couple of rounds. We detonated them. We stopped at noon hour to eat. And while I was eating, my friend Lee Gore asked me if I wanted him to take over his point. And he could have easily have done it. He was as well trained as I. But for some reason, I told him I would finish out the day. And then on tomorrow, he could show the new men how to walk point. We picked up where we left off from. 45 minutes later, I stepped on a 60-pound mine. Blew me several feet into the air. Ripped both of my legs off of my body. I should have been killed instantly. A big enough mine to destroy a Jeep. We'd entered a major minefield. I knew I'd been hit. I was only unconscious for just a few moments. I didn't know how serious it was. There was a lot of pain. There was a lot of confusion, a lot of noise, a lot of smoke. In the midst of all that confusion, the midst of my pain, I looked up. My head was laying in the lap of Corporal Lee Gore. Lee wasn't cussing the president or the communists or the Vietnamese or no one else. Tears streaming down his face. He was praying and asking God to help me. And I can remember it this evening as though it happened 5 minutes ago. Quang Nam province, a little after 1:30 in the afternoon, I looked up and I made God a promise. Something like these simple words, "God, if you'll let me live, get back home to my parents, I'll do with my life what you want me to do." Well, I'd made a lot of promises to God before, but I never meant it. like I meant it on that day. It came with a medevac chopper, carried me to the hospital ship, the USS Sanctuary. 2 weeks on that ship, doctors had basically given up hope, not thinking that I would survive because of the seriousness of my wounds. 2 weeks on the island of Guam, and then 8 months in a Philadelphia Naval Hospital, 13 major operations. When the doctors were through, I had 3 inches remaining on my right leg, 11 inches on my left, but no other part of my body was hurt. Some would tell us it was nothing but an accident, but I remind you that with God, there are no accidents. God was not asleep on March the 8th, 1971. You see, as a 10-year-old boy, I said yes to Jesus Christ. But as a teenager, I decided that I could live my own life. And I made a choice, a deliberate choice, to run. And I ran and ran and ran until March the 8th, 1971, when the running was over. Went home from the hospital to my dad's church in Southern Illinois. I went forward and publicly made things right. It was in that church that I met Connie. We fell in love with each other. We'll soon celebrate 47 years of marriage, 3 awesome children, 6 awesome grandchildren. Wasn't long after we were married that God called me to preach. Friends and even relatives tried to discourage me, but I said, if that's what God wants me to do, then that's what I'll do. Dennis told you I pastored for 5 years in Southern Illinois. Now I'm a 41st year as an evangelist. I've had the privilege of speaking in every state, with the exception of North Dakota. I don't even think anybody lives up there anymore. Many, many foreign countries preaching God's word. And I'm going to tell you now, like I've said so many times, the past 48 plus years of my life have absolutely been the happiest years of my life. You say, but Tim, you're in a wheelchair. Your legs are gone. Yes, but the difference tonight is that I'm in the will of God. And my friend, that makes all the difference in the world. Job said it like this: happy is the man whom God correcteth. Tim, are you telling us God would do something like that to a person? No. God doesn't necessarily do things to us. He does things for us because he loves us, because he cares for us, because we're his children. You're saved, but you're out of the will of God. You're running from God. Your life is a total mess tonight. I'm pleading with you, don't run any further from God. Turn around and run to God tonight. He waits with arms wide open, and he'll, just like the prodigal son's dad did, he'll throw you a party, welcome you home, and you'll be forgiven, and you can make the rest of the days of your life count for God. And there's some of you tonight, you've never been saved. Your life has never, ever been changed by the power of God. In the next 2 minutes, I'm going to tell you the most important words I could possibly tell you tonight. Some of you maybe have never heard these words, and tonight may be the first time. I want you to listen on purpose. Here it is. A little over 2,000 years ago, God sent his only son to this earth. God didn't have 20 sons. God didn't have 2 sons. God had 1 son, Jesus Christ. Came to this earth born of a virgin. He lived on this earth for nearly 33 sinless, spotless years. He did no wrong. And then one day, he walked up Calvary's hill, willingly laid down his life for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of the world. He hung on a cross suspended between heaven and earth. And on that cross, he shed his blood. And on that cross, he died. God's only son died. They took him off of the cross and they carried him and they put him in a borrowed tomb. And gentlemen, right here tonight, among other things, is the difference between Christianity and every other single religion on the face of the earth. For if you were to go to the place where they put the body of Jesus, you wouldn't find him. He's not there. On the third day, he got up from the grave, victorious over sin, victorious over death, victorious over hell. And tonight, God's Son is alive. That's the good news. And here's the great news. He wants to come and live in your life. You say, Tim, how does that happen? How does God's Son come and live in my life? You come to this time in your life, this moment right now. to understand in the sight of this holy God that you're a sinner. The Bible says so. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of God's glory. And it is our sin that separates us from God. It is our sin that keeps us from having a right relationship with God. It is our sin that would separate us from God for all eternity in a horrible place called hell, except for the fact that a price was paid for our sins, God's only Son. And tonight, if you're willing to repent of your sin, to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus, He'll come in to your life. He'll change your life. He'll give you something worth living. And you can go put your head on your pillow tonight knowing that if you die before the sun comes up in the morning, you would be in the presence of God in an awesome, awesome place called heaven forever and ever. I want you to bow your heads right where you're at. Understand that the prayer itself won't save you. It's not repeating religious words. But as you come to this place in your life to confess that you're a sinner, knowing you cannot save yourself, you're turning to the one who died for you and the one who arose for you. Something like this right now. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know my sins can separate me from you forever. But tonight, I want to be saved. God, please forgive me of all my sin. Wash me as white as snow. Make me your child. Right now, this very moment, I am trusting Jesus Christ and Him alone as my Lord and my Savior. Take me to heaven when I die, for I am now your child.
I sure hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast with Evangelist Tim Lee. This is Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Institute. If you listened to today's broadcast and you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, or if God spoke into your life in a special way, we'd love to hear from you. Would you call us at 877-732-6825? That number again, 877-732-6825. We've been praying that God would use these broadcasts in a special way to turn and encourage and inspire the hearts of men. Learn more by visiting today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Hey, while you're on our site, I encourage you to check out our blog tab. There you're going to find entries from Dr. James Dobson, myself, my wife Julie, along with many of our past guests. These blogs are written on special issues such as parenting the rebel child, religious liberty, single living, and much more. So the next time that you're needing an encouraging word, read a few of our blogs at drjamesdobson.org. Tomorrow, we're going to be continuing our Men's Ignite Week with part one of a powerful fire message from my friend Dr. Rick Rigsby. If you've never heard him before, get ready. Every time Dr. Rigsby steps in front of a crowd, he speaks with incredible power and conviction. This is the message that I referenced earlier in the week with Dr. Dobson. Here's a brief clip of what you're going to hear from Dr. Rick Rigsby.
Almighty God is issuing a call saying, who among us will rise up? If you call yourself a godly man, start acting like a godly man. That means you put away childish things. What does that look like, Rick? That means you deny yourself. That means you take up the cross, your cross. Everybody say cross. That means you follow God. Everybody say follow. A shallow, superficial society that is strayed away from God has produced Christian men who are lukewarm.
You don't want to miss Dr. Rick Rigsby coming up on the next edition of Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton, Executive Director of the James Dobson Family Institute. I wanted to quickly tell you about a $300,000 matching gift we received from a generous friend of our ministry. What that means right now is that every donation you make to the ministry will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $50 becomes $100, and so on. See how you can contribute to this grant by visiting us at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Or call us toll-free right now. Toll-free, 877-732-6825. That number again, toll-free, 877-732-6825. The match won't last long, so step in now, would you, and become a friend of this ministry. Go to drjamesdobson.org or call 877-732-6825. Thank you for your continued prayer and support of our ministry.